Luke chapter 23, and we're going to start in verse number 32. It says this: "There were also two others, criminals, led with him to be put to death. And they came to the place called Calvary, and there they crucified him. And the criminals one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then Jesus said, 'Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do.' And they divided his garments and cast lots, and the people stood looking on. But even the rulers with them sneered, saying, 'He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Christ, the chosen one of God.' The soldiers also mocked him, coming and offering him sour wine and saying, 'If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself.' And the inscription also was written over him in letters of Greek, Latin, and Hebrew, 'This is the King of the Jews.'" And we'll stop there. As I've been thinking about the incredible sacrifice of Jesus, one thing that has struck me is just his amazing character. The amazing character that is shown while he is on the cross. It is just an incredible thing if you contemplate it. And especially what it says in verse 34, we will concentrate on that. It says, "Then Jesus said, 'Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do.'" This is an incredible statement, especially if you look at the setting where it's said. I know we know the story and we heard this so many times, and sometimes it gets a little old and we lose the gravity of it, but recall the setting that this is done in. Jesus has just been betrayed by somebody that he was with for 3 years, betrayed unto death. All of his friends, the 12 people that were closest to him, they all turned away from him in his greatest hour of need. He is falsely accused, unduly convicted, and now he's murdered, killed, crucified on the cross. And in that setting, Jesus says, "Forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." Could you just think of how we react in situations of so much less severity? Something goes wrong, something does something wrong, somebody does something wrong to us, and right away our anger goes up. And right away we want to get back. And look at the character of Jesus. Instead of being angry for all of these things, have you ever been falsely accused? Has somebody ever lied about you or thought that when you've done something right, they call it wrong? It just makes the blood boil. And here, this is exactly what happens to Jesus. And he says, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." The character of Jesus is incredible. And it is so fitting, because this statement is kind of a summary statement of the whole mission of Jesus. He says, "Forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." It's a summary of what he came to do. And it is so fitting that he did it on the cross in such extreme circumstances. He came to forgive sins, because sin was a problem. Sin is still the problem. And Jesus dying on the cross is part of the answer. We have to accept that forgiveness. That's the other part. But him dying on the cross, under these circumstances, offering forgiveness, is a summary of what he came to do. He came to forgive sins, because sin separated from God. One of the youth read it today. It was Anthony. He took us back to the Garden of Eden, where Adam and Eve sinned, and the separation from God happened. And that separation is still today. But Jesus came to change that. He came to rectify that situation. He came to bring reconciliation. And it is only through the cross that that happens. This is why Easter is such an amazing day, because this gave us the ability to be right with God. And he says, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." And you say, "Well, my sins aren't so bad. You know, there are so many people that are worse than me. I'm a reasonable guy. I'm a reasonable person. You know, I haven't done anything so wrong." And that's when you compare you against me and you against your neighbor and you against somebody else that's much worse. You could always find somebody that's much worse than you. But that's not the standard God goes by. He doesn't go by that. And anyone who's told you otherwise is not telling you something biblical. I will tell you what the Bible says. It is in James chapter 2 and verse 10. It says this, and this gets to the gravity of why Jesus is so important and why his death on the cross is so vital. Because it says this in James chapter 2 and verse 10. It says, whoever shall keep the whole law and stumble in one point, he is guilty of all. Such an extreme measure. What this means is, if you've ever done one thing wrong, by the standard of God, you're guilty. It doesn't matter how good you are. It doesn't matter all the good things you've done. And I'm sure people have done wonderful things, marvelous things. But if you've done one thing wrong, you're guilty of all. If you've done one thing wrong, you're guilty of everything. And Jesus knows that, and he says, I've come to give forgiveness. I've come to give forgiveness. Don't be distracted. I've come to give you forgiveness of your sins. Because that's how wonderful he is. And Jesus shows how far he is willing to go. He shows how far he's willing to go to forgive you. You cannot go farther than killing Jesus. And yet, even in those circumstances, he says, I forgive them. I forgive them. Forgiveness is offered to you no matter where you are, no matter what you've done, no matter how little you've done, you need Jesus and you need his forgiveness. And without it, you can't get to heaven. It is not by your works. It is not by all the good things you've done. It's not all by how good of a person you are, according to the Bible. What it is have you accepted Christ as your Savior? And this is why we call him a Savior. Because nobody could have been good enough. Nobody could have earned it. Nobody. But yet he offered it to us. Because that's what a Savior does. And that's who he is. And he proved it to us on the cross. He said, there is no sin, no sin that is beyond my reach. I will reach out and pull them and say, I'll forgive them of everything and anything. And this is what he offers today. You see, it is not. The world will tell us that it is a weak person that forgives. But in reality, it's the exact opposite. The weak can't forgive. It takes an extremely strong person. It takes an extremely strong character to forgive. It is an attribute of the strong. It is not an attribute of the weak. It is an attribute of the strong. And that's what Jesus shows, his amazing character on the cross. Pain throughout his entire body, and he says, forgive them. Just an amazing God. The other thing that is so amazing is that we see that under these circumstances, there is such self-control. He's not flying off the handle. He's not angry about everything. And that's the one thing that's missing in this. We don't see any anger in Jesus. I know many times We get this impression that God is this angry God, and he's angry at us for all the things that we do, and we can't approach him. We even hear the people say, oh, I can't darken the door of a church, because they think lightning is going to strike them or something like that. But there's no anger here. We don't see any anger in Jesus at all. In fact, it's just compassion, mercy, and forgiveness. The world will try and convince you that God is an angry God. But Jesus came to show us who God is. The Bible tells us that he is the exact image of God. And in that exact image of God, with all the bad that is being done to him, he says, forgive them. And he does not get angry, even in these extreme circumstances. This is who our God is. One who is slow to anger. And then when we understand what Jesus has done for us, then he expects us to do the same for others. When we understand what God, through Jesus Christ, has done for us, he expects us to turn around and forgive those who have wronged us. He makes that statement very clearly in other parts of the gospel. And he expects us to turn around and forgive those who have hurt us. Forgiveness is just letting go of all of the negative things that you think in your mind. Forgiveness is releasing that person who has done you wrong. Forgiveness is saying, I'm not going to be mad about this situation any longer. I'm going to give it up. I'm going to let it go. If you can't forgive, you're essentially holding on to the past. You're essentially holding on to something that was done wrong to you in the past, whether it's real or whether it's perceived. It is a holding on to the past. This is why we call it holding a grudge. Because you hold on to it. You won't let it go. And really, there's a saying which says, when you don't forgive, it's like you drinking poison and you wait for the other person to die. Because it makes you so bitter, it makes you so angry, it consumes so much of your thought life, you can't get it away. As soon as the person is mentioned in a conversation, all of the feelings flood again into your mind. And forgiveness says, I'm not going to go there anymore. It doesn't mean that the person has changed at all, but it means that you have changed. It means that you're different. It means that you're not going to hold on any longer. This is what it means. And you say, well, what about justice? What about justice? They deserve something. They deserve to be. And to that I tell you that God, along with being a forgiving God, he's also a God of justice. He's made the way for forgiveness. And if we accept his forgiveness, the justice of God is satisfied. If we don't accept forgiveness, if we don't change and we don't repent, God is still a just God. And he can repay things much better than you and me. It might not be as satisfying to you, but God will repay. Don't think that anything is getting by him. He's a God of justice, and he will repay. Have you ever been around people that are holding things? They've been offended by someone. They've been offended by something. And sometimes years go by, and they stop talking to people, and they stop seeing people, and they avoid certain situations. Can't let things go, and they're trapped in this mindset of unforgiveness. And when forgiveness happens, see sin separates. It separates us from God and also separates us from people. When we do wrong, many times, this is what happens. We don't want to be around people. We don't want to be around God. We're angry at this person. We're angry at God. And sin separates. But forgiveness opens the door to restoration. It doesn't mean things are restored, but it opens the door to restoration. Restoration often depends on the reaction of the person. But forgiveness depends on you. Forgiveness depends on us. And if Jesus is our example on the cross and he says, forgive them, we must do the same thing. To free ourselves. Forgiveness is about you being released. Forgiveness is about you being released. Those three words, I forgive you, are so powerful. They're so powerful. They can do so much. They can do so much to make your world a much better place. Forgiving and not holding on. When you forgive, you don't change the past. But you certainly will change the future. When you forgive, you don't change the past because the past has happened. But when you do, you change your future. You make your future better because you release all of the anger, you release all of the hurt, you release all of the negative things that consume our minds. But you see, it is not a natural thing. It's not natural for us to forgive. It's not in our nature. It's not in our instinct even. It's hard to do such a thing. One day there was a man driving down a road, and he's driving kind of fast, and there's a woman that passes him going the other way, and as she passes him, she yells out of her window, she yells out, "Pig!" And right away he gets angry. I don't even know this woman. I haven't done anything to her. What is the matter with her? Why so mean? Why such an attack against me? And right away he looks out the window and he yells some things back at her. And he's sitting in his car and he's still driving down the road and he's still angry and he's still processing this and he's fuming. And as he turns the corner, he runs right into a pig that was in the middle of the road. And the point is that our first reaction is just to get back. I got to get back at them. I gotta do something. I have to respond in kind and maybe even a little worse. And the example of Jesus says, let it go. Let it go. There's no good that comes from it. And he makes this point with his life and his death on the cross. And you still think, well, I can't trust that person. Well, forgiveness and trust are two different things. Forgiveness and trust are two different things. Forgiveness is done in an instant. Trust is something that's built up over time. Forgiveness is done by grace. Forgiveness is often undeserved. But trust is something that is done and seen by your works. Trust is something that is earned, and forgiveness is something that is not earned. Forgiveness is something that is given. There are two different things. Trust and forgiveness are two very, very different things, and people often get these confused and they say, I can't forgive because I can't trust. Trust comes later. It depends on the reaction of the person and not on you. Forgiveness depends totally on you. The amazing thing about Jesus is if you think about natural things, if you've ever been in a dispute, if you've ever been in some sort of an argument with someone, you often are looking for someone to break the tension, break the anger of the situation by taking the first step. And it takes a lot of courage to take that first step because you don't know how the other person is going to react. Should I say sorry? Should I make the first move? Should I say a nice word? Should I do something? How are they going to respond? Am I going to be rejected? And look at what Jesus does on the cross. He takes the first step. He tells you, I'll forgive you. No matter what you do, no matter how you do it, no matter how long you've done it, I will forgive you. He said with his life, I will come and I will meet you more than halfway. He said with his life, I will come down to earth. I will leave everything in heaven. I will take the first step, the second step, the third step. I will take all kinds of steps because you matter to him. You matter so much that he is going to give his life for you. He is the one who has reached out his hand. He is the one who is calling out to you. He is the one who is making it simple for you, because he is a God of love. And when you love, you forgive. And when you love, you reach out. And the Bible even tells us when you love, you remember. You don't remember the wrongs. Love remembers no wrongs. And Jesus shows this. Because it says in the Bible, when he forgives, he says he doesn't remember it anymore. He even says it's like removed as far as the east is from the west. He says, that's it. I forgive you. But forgiveness needs to be received. Forgiveness needs to be received by us. Just because he forgave doesn't mean that we've accepted it. And this is the difference. It's kind of like you win the lottery, but you never claim your check. You win the lottery, but you never tell anybody. You never make it known. You never say, I want it. And this is the beginning of salvation. When we say, yes, I'm a sinner, I understand. I understand that I've wronged God. Do you understand? A person who loves, the person that can hurt you the most is probably the person that you love the most. The person that could hurt you the most is the one that you love the most. And think of how our sin hurts God. Our sin hurts him. Our sin grieves him. Our sin separates us from him. And that's why he came. The great capacity of God to love. The Bible actually says God is love. He can be hurt by our sins. This doesn't mean that he's weak, as some people in the world say. He's not weak at all. He's all powerful. He chooses to love us. He chooses to love us. And if you say, well, this cannot be possible, that God is who you say he is, that God can do what you say he can do, that God will do what you say he will do, 3 days later, he rises from the grave. And he says, you thought forgiveness was impossible? I'll show you something that's beyond your mind. I'll show you something that's way beyond anything that you can think. I will rise from the grave. And he puts an exclamation point on his life and says, you don't believe it's true? I'll show you that I have the power. I'll show you that I have the ability. I'll show you that I can do anything I want. And I want to forgive, is what he says. And he says, I won't do it, and I will show you by rising from the grave. And that is what he did. He could do whatever he wants, and he chooses to forgive. And he chooses to reconcile you. And he chooses to forget about the past. And he says, I want you more. I want you more. And he says, my resurrection will show you. My resurrection will show you that I could do whatever I want. He could rise from the grave. He could forgive your sins. Somebody even challenged him once when he did a miracle. And I said, how could you do this miracle? Who is he? And he's... Because actually, first what he did was he said, man, your sins are forgiven. And they said, well, how can he forgive sins? And Jesus said, he gave the argument, and he says, well, I could heal as well. And if I could heal, I could certainly forgive sins, because healing seems more difficult than forgiving sins. Well, rising from the dead is also more difficult. And he says, I could do that. I could forgive your sins as well. This is our Savior. This is our God. A God of amazing character. A God of incredible love, a God of unbelievable forgiveness, which he extends to us all. I would like to just pray with you for a moment. If you want to accept this forgiveness in your life, if you know you're not right with God and you want to be right with God, I just want to say a prayer for you. We're going to pray in a few minutes all together. And I would like to take this moment to pray for you. If you need Jesus in your heart, I want to pray with you right now. Just bow your heads. Father, we thank you for the incredible example of your forgiveness, Lord. And if there is anyone out here today that is looking for your forgiveness, Lord, I pray that you would lavish your love on them. Show them that they can be forgiven and that you will remember the past no more. Show them that you are a loving God, not an angry God, but one that will do anything to restore your relationship with them. In your mighty name we pray, in the name of Jesus, amen. Amen.